Today, I'd like to talk to you from the subtopic, So Much on the Line. So much. So much on the line. I've taught from this text before, but I believe that it is truly necessary to go back and deal with the text again. This is not an old sermon, this is a new sermon, but the text we have, it is one of my favorite, if not the most favorite, for me, of text in the Bible. And I believe that it's necessary at this point in time, at this season, to go back and teach over this text again. In fact, let's all look at the text together. And before we read the text, I want to read to you the header of this text in the New King James Version. In the New King James Version, what happens is in the New Testament and the Old Testament as well, before there is a start of scripture, there is always a header, something that titles what this particular part of the message is about. And to me, the header is as important as the complete realm of scripture. And the reason why I say this, it says the header says, a vital church grows. A vital church grows. And after we read the scriptures, we will get into why that is so important. Amen? In the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 40 through 47, and you stay seated, I'm going to work for you today. Amen? A vital church grows. The book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 40 through 47, the New King James Version reads it like this: and with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many, catch this, many wonders. And in fact, I'm going to start over because I don't want this to be like the blind man where we continue to read this and everybody just misses it because we've read it before. Because this whole thing that I'm reading is so meaty, you understand, especially for the congregation of a church. And it says, and with many other words, he testified, exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. How many understand that we are living in a time that is exceptionally, extremely perverse? Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then, get this. Let me go back to number 42. And they continued steadfastly. And underscore the word continued. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together. Now all who believed, they were together. Lord, have mercy. Catch this. And it says, Lord, have mercy. I didn't get excited. They were together, and get this. They had all things in common. And here's where it gets a little hard for some people. And sold their possessions and goods. You see how quiet they got? We had a whole lot of shouting and amen and just a second ago. But when I talked about selling the possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Verse number 47, praising God and having favor with all people, with all the people. And the Lord added, catch this, to the church daily those who were being saved. Not Sunday to Sunday. He added to the church daily. Why? Because there was a unification amongst the saints in this dispensation of time. Now, before we get into the actual scriptures, I want to look at the header. It says, a vital church grows. And years ago, I stressed the word vital. And I'm about to stress it again. Thank you. The word vital means absolutely necessary. Next week, we're going to have these words bigger on the screen. I don't want you losing your sight trying to read these little bitty words, so I'm just going to scream out the definitions for you as well. The word vital means absolutely necessary or important. It is essential. Absolutely necessary. Lord, have mercy. Growth Temple, that's what this ministry is, and that's why the enemy has been fighting us tooth and nail, because we are absolutely necessary. And not only is the enemy fighting this church on a whole, but it's fighting with all of you all individually. And see, God has shown me why many of you feel like you're worth, he's shown me that you feel like you're not worth fighting about. Many of you have this I'm nobody mentality. Why would the enemy be worried about me mentality? And I want you to know that you are dead wrong for that way of thinking. Life, love, circumstances may have beat you down into believing that you're nothing, that you don't matter, that Satan isn't concerned about you. But I want to tell you, if that is your way of thinking, you are dead wrong. In fact, I'd like to tell you that the enemy trembles at your name. He trembles at your name. He is concerned about you. Some of you have heard me say this before, but the enemy never goes to war where there are no spoils. In other words, the enemy never goes to war where it's not worth it. You understand what I'm saying to you? And I want to take it deeper and further suggest every wrong that you have suffered, every foul way that you were treated, every letdown that you had to endure was because the enemy knew that if he could keep you broken by circumstance, he could keep you from your destiny. And some of you have been trying to figure out why life has been so complicated, why life has been so crazy, why life has been full of hell, because there is a destiny attached to your life that he has been trying to stop you from understanding, that is connected to you, because he understands if you ever come out of this mindset that you're not good enough, you will be a problem for the kingdom of darkness. Do you understand, beloved, that you were meant to be a problem for the kingdom of darkness? Ain't nothing nice about you. Ain't nothing soft about you. Ain't nothing weak about you. Ain't nothing gullible about you. You was meant to be a problem. A problem to the kingdom. To the kingdom of darkness. It's about your destiny. It's not because you're stupid. It's about your destiny. It's not because you're thirsty. It's about your destiny. It's not because you're weak. It's about your destiny. The enemy understands your destiny because he understands what you were created to do. But if you could ever tap into what it is that you were created to do, when hell hits your life, when circumstances come your way, you can look flat face in the devil, look him dead in the eye, and let him know, I shall not fall. I shall not give up. I will not be broken. I will not move. I am here to the end. For God I live, and for God I die. It's about your destiny. Many of you need to stop minimizing your worth to the kingdom. And accept the fact that you have a destiny. And I don't care how long you've been out of the game. I don't care how long you've been on the sidelines. I don't care how long you've been broke down on the side of the road. I don't care how long the enemy has been manipulating you into believing that you're not worth it. When you get ready to get into the game, God is ready for you to get into the game. God says, I've created an exit for you to get into the game. I've created something bigger than you. I've created something that is bigger than your adversary. And I don't know about you, but I need about five people in the building to say, I'm greater than what I've been through. It's what's happening. It's what's supposed to happen. When destiny is pursued, destiny is pursued through your praise. Destiny is pursued through your worship. Destiny is pursued through your I desire God more than anything. Destiny is pursued when you say, even in my shout, I'm going to give God everything I got. So you shouldn't get amazed when you see people throwing up in trash cans right in the middle of service, because that's what this is supposed to do. When destiny gets reconnected to your life, it begins to purge you from everything that was not of God. So this is why every year I would come back to these particular verses, because I knew that if I didn't, let's read them. Acts chapter 2, verse number 42 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer. See, I continuously come back to these scriptures year after year, because what I saw in the spirit was a war being lodged against the camp of Growth Temple Ministries. But the problem was, the soldiers was all out of disposition. The soldiers was all out of position. The soldiers were broken. The soldiers were wounded. The soldiers were on the brink of giving up and throwing in the towel. And so I was a leader without an arm. Oh, y'all don't hear me in here. Because even my sergeants, even my generals, even my corporals had been broken down to the last straw. You understand what I'm saying to you? But I'm here to let you know, God has sent you back a revitalization. God has sent you back, Lord, have mercy. He has sent you back the ultimate comeback kit. And all you have to do is trust in God and believe in God and pursue God and forsake everything that is opposite of God, and everything that you was called to do will come to pass. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Underscore that word continued, in the breaking of bread and prayers. Now that's the New King James Version. But the New Living Translation says, all the believers devoted. Underscore that point right there. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. Verse number 42, New King James Version, it says continued. They continued. Continued means without a break in continuity, ongoing. It did not stop. It was a way of life. It was a habit. It was like breathing. It was like breathing air through your lungs. You understand what I'm saying? It was constant, continually. The New Living Translation says they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine. The word devoted means having a deep and passionate commitment or dedication to something or someone, often accompanied by strong loyalty, affection, and faithfulness. Lord, have mercy. New King James Version says they continued. New Living Translation says they were devoted to. Lord, have mercy. Having a deep, passionate commitment or dedication to something, which should be that something should be Christianity, and to someone, and that someone should be Jesus. But the problem is, we're not devoted to the doctrine of the apostles, and we don't continue in the doctrine. And as a consequence, we leave these menial, petty, average lives without ever seeing the power of God in our lives. And because the majority of the church lives like this, it has gotten to the point where the few of us that live consecrated lives are affected in our church setting because we are on the verge of, watch this, it's then got so petty amongst most of the church, now we are again in the position of almost losing the property. I did not come to play church with you today. I am sick and tired of being connected to what is sick and tired, and I am here to declare that there is something that needs to be done about it. This past Friday, Jeff and I had a meeting with realtors while we were serving the community through a funeral. Isn't it sad that more people show up in church for the funeral than they do up for the service? Isn't it sad that people will show up for the dead, but they won't show up for the living God? And Jeff and I, we were walking with these realtors, and we got up to the point of upstairs where the children's church, and I began to go back through memory lane, and I remember when they were in the building upstairs, and they were painting by hand. And if you've ever been upstairs and seen the beautiful artistry that's on all of the walls upstairs, then you would understand that this was no small feat. This was not something that was done overnight, and they painted by hand every color. They colored in, they painted in. I mean, they took their time with this. It was special to them. It meant something to them. And now I've got these guys, these realtors, and they're picking over us like we're meat at Kroger's, seeing what it is that they like about the place. Do I want this pack of ribs? Do I want that pack of chicken? That's how they was picking over our church. And when I walked out, I asked Jeff, I said, did that hurt you as much as it hurt me? And he said, yeah, maybe not as much because you're the pastor. But we were broken walking back into the building. And we watched the enemy work his act. To the point of now we're out here showing property that we should be proud of, that we should be flourishing in, that our children should be learning the daggone thing. But now we're on the brink of having to let it go simply because we could not get everybody in communion, on one accord, in unison with what it was that God had placed over this church. I did not come to tickle your fancy today. I come with a last battle cry. With one more challenge. With one more challenge. And wherever we end up, let's end up somewhere great. Let's end up ready. Let's end up in ranks. Let's end up refusing to lose and determined not to die. And it's not just that the devil, and here's the sad part about it. It's not just the devil who's playing a part. It's mainly due to the blatant rebellion that we have decided that we are going to live in. Let me tell you something. If you come here and be like, amen, pastor, and preach, pastor, but then you go home and your walk with God is raggedy and you are not consecrated, then you are a part of the problem here. If you leave here and you're still bumping rap music with profanity all in it, you are a faker and you are a part of the problem. If your team and friend group is a bunch of unbelievers who's okay with your mess because they a mess and they like being messy, baby, you are a part of the problem. And not just in the church, but you're a problem in your own life. You're a problem in your children's life. You're a problem in your marriage. You're the reason you're not married. You understand what I'm saying to you? If you are playing church, you are a part of the problem. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, don't team up with those that are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. And God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Get this right here before you shout. Therefore, come out from amongst unbelievers and separate yourself from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you, and I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Here's where it gets deep. And so since the majority of this church stays around unbelievers, That's why I don't be on Facebook no more, because it hurts my soul. Half the things I see come from this church. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so since the majority of this church stays around unbelievers, stays in darkness, continues to touch their filthy things, as the Bible said, their weed, their alcohol, their music, God says, I don't welcome you. God said, I don't welcome you. God didn't say that. Well, let's look at it. Look at verses 17 and 18. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers. Watch this. It didn't say unless they're your family. They didn't say, well, that's been my girl for years. They said, come out from unbelievers. That's what God said, and separate yourselves from them. In other words, we cannot be in unison any longer. We cannot be down any longer. I can't claim you as my A spoon coon, as my day one, my A1 from day one. I can't claim you as that anymore, because you are walking in darkness and I'm trying to walk in light. And the Bible says, what does light have to do with darkness? What does Christ have to do with Belial? What does the enemy have to do? He said, I don't welcome you. Listen, he says, therefore, come out from amongst unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things. And what? I will welcome you. So it stands to understand. So it goes to reason that if you don't come out from amongst them and you continue to stay around unbelievers and you continue to touch their filthy things, then you're not welcomed. He says, I only welcome those that separate themselves, those that come away from the things that are contrary to me. I only welcome those. Those are the ones that I call sons and daughters. Listen, this is real. God says, as long as you stay with the world, I'm not your father. And I'm not your father because you have chosen to be a son of perdition. What is a son or a child of perdition? The phrase simply means a man or a person that is doomed to destruction. And they are doomed. Why are they doomed to destruction? Because they rejected God's ways and they did what they wanted to do. And some of you may be saying, what done messed around and got him, pastor? He ain't preached like this in a minute. And my response would be, no, I've been preaching like this, but you've become immune to it. It's like I was saying last week. Lord, have mercy. It's like I was saying last week about the blind man and his neighbors, because the blind man had been a fixture for so long, just sitting there begging. His neighbors and those who passed him by on a daily just kind of simply forgot that he was there. And I believe that's what's happened here at Grove Temple. Sunday in and Sunday out, we show up at the church because it's a part of our routine. It's something that we can check off the box. It's just something that we do. We sing the songs. We listen to the sermon, but we really don't listen to the sermon. Lord, have mercy. We're just kind of here. We are not really given to what the pastor is saying any type of mind or attention. And so, you know, because despite what you're being preached about, what you're being preached to, you leave and continue on as normal. Every Sunday, ask yourself, am I guilty of that? I shout. Maybe I know I'm fake, so I don't do none of that. I just wave my hand, shake my head, or I just sit there and try to muster my way through it. But as soon as I leave this place, I'm back to a land of sinfulness. We leave out continue as normal in sin. In foolishness, in madness, in depression, unfulfilled, unhappy, and broken. And why? All because we show up every Sunday and you see me, but you really don't see me. And it's not me that you've forgotten. You have forgotten God. There you go. You are not rejecting my message. You are rejecting the message of God. Amen. And so here we are again. About to put this property up for sale. About to be looking for a smaller place and smaller space because, simply put, the church wasn't important enough. Seeing our kids grow up with a holy foundation, well, it just wasn't important enough. Look at the book of Acts chapter 2, verses 43 through 47 in the Amplified Classic. I don't believe we're going to have these scriptures on here, but I want to read them to you anyway. And I'm reading from the Amplified Classic, and I just want you to let these words sink in. And a sense of awe, reverential fear came upon every came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were performed through the apostles, the special messengers, and all who believed, who adhered to and trusted in and relied on Jesus Christ were united and together, and they had everything in common. I remember when we were at Grove Temple the very first time, and we were over in the storefront, and we didn't have all of these perks and luxuries, and the building wasn't so pretty over there, and we didn't have 8 restrooms. We had 2. You remember those days when you had to get up in the altar call so that you could be one of the first ones to make it to the bathroom, because one of the bathrooms, it wasn't for sure that it was going to work. I'm talking about when ministry was ministry, when we wasn't cute, when we wasn't feeling ourselves, when we were all about the things of God. You understand what I'm saying to you? I remember being over there, and everybody had everything in common. And this is why every Sunday we were at each other's homes, or we was at the church, and church might be over at 2, but we didn't leave till 5. Why? Because we were all fellowshipping together. We were all sitting around and just talking about the glory of God. There wasn't another sermon preached, but there was another sermon preached. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Through everybody had something to say about the text. Everybody had something to say about the word. Everything was in common. We ate together. We chilled together. We went bowling together. We went out to eat at the restaurants. Every Friday night, we had something called the after party, or preach it then. And every Friday night, we was at somebody's restaurant, and we were laughing and joking and having a great time. We had all things in common. You know why this church don't do that? Because we ain't got everything in common, because some of us are holy and some of us are hellish, and we have not decided. Some of us have made up our minds, and some of us haven't decided that we're going to walk for Christ, but some of us have decided that we're going to walk with Christ. And the ones who don't really walk with Christ for real, they've got a problem with being around the righteous for real, because they feel uncomfortable around holiness. And it comes for a time when you just got to grow the heck up and stop playing games when it comes to your salvation, when it comes to your soul, when it comes to your children and grandchildren and where they're going to end up in eternity, and say, I'm going to walk this thing out for real. There just comes a time. There comes a time. But this is why we don't hang out. I remember asking one set of members one time at the old church. I said, hey, why don't you ever invite us to some of these functions that you have? And she said to me, I can't invite you. You're the pastor. Well, why can't you invite me? Because I'm the pastor. What are you doing that is so anti-God that you can't invite your pastors over? What happened to the time when people could sit back and say, Pastor, we're having a great event coming up, and you're invited? It blew my mind. I loved me. It took me way back when I got an invite from Joel, because his niece's birthday is today. And he said, listen, we want everybody to come over to the house. You know why they can have everybody come over to the house? Because they ain't got nothing to hide. You understand what I'm saying to you? They ain't got nothing they got to put up. They ain't got nothing they got to put, you know, put up under this and put this under the carpet and sweep this up real quick. Spray the air freshener. The people of God is on the way. Bible said that they had everything in common. Verse number 45, can you understand that? You got over 3,000 souls that had just been added to the kingdom, and it says, and they all had everything in common. They had all sold out to Jesus. You know the one thing that we got in common, the majority of us got in common? We ain't sold out to Jesus. We sold out to our boo. We sold out to our bae. We sold out to our husband, our wife. We sold out to our job. We sold out to the world. But we have yet to sell out to Jesus. And it's become a problem in this church. And they sold their possessions. Lord have mercy. Both their land, property, and their movable goods. This is what it says. Listen to this. And distributed the price among all according as they had need. I remember at the old church when somebody's lights was in jeopardy, when somebody's rent was in jeopardy, and it wasn't a welfare service, but we had seen that life was just lifing, and things had come up, and on most months they could pay all their bills, even if they was just squeezing by. Watch this. And their light bill was due, but they paid their tithes. And as a last resort, watch this, it wasn't the first resort, but as a last resort, they got in touch with me and say something like, listen, Pastor, I'm late on my rent. I'm half short, but I was just, and get this, I don't want it to keep. I'll pay it back. I ain't trying to come up. You understand? This wasn't a situation of I got my nails and my hair done and now I'm short on my bills. You understand what I'm saying to you? But it didn't matter the number that would come across the pulpit when I said, we got a brother or sister that is in need and we need to make this happen before we leave here. I've seen some of the brokest people financially come up with some enormous, crazy amounts of money in a matter of 10 and 15 minutes like it wasn't nothing. Sometimes some people will sit back and say, I just got a promotion. I just got a raise. I just got a bonus, and I got it. Don't even worry about it. You ain't even got to talk about it any longer. You ain't got to raise no other money. I got it. You know why people were so easy to be able to do that? Because they were able to look around and say, everybody in this church, we have all things in common. So despite what they might not have personally, I know what they've done communally as far as the church goes. I know that they have given of their tithes. I know they have given of their time. I know they have given of their substance. So I don't need to know who it is. I don't need to know why. We got all things in common. I know that everybody in this building is doing the right thing by this church and my God. So here's my contribution. I'll let this go. I won't get my hair done. I won't get my toes done. But that rent's going to be paid. That electric bill's going to be paid. That baby going to have food in his belly. It's not going to be something that we worry about. There's a time that you got to grow up.
And get about
the Father's business. Listen, that's when we had all things in common. The Bible says that they sold their movable goods. Well, whatever they done. But see, I understand why now we can sit back and say we need $47.50. And it might take me 2 days to get it in this church because while everybody's looking around, everybody's going, well, if they walk is like my walk, they just trick their money off. If they walk is like my walk, well, I don't give. So why would I give to somebody that don't give but now wants me to give to their bills because they ain't been doing the right thing? See, because everybody looks at their own walk and says, if I walk like this, probably everybody do. And we know that it's true because pastor's always talking about the building's in jeopardy again. But we can amen. We got the nerve to shout blasphemy. Blasphemy. Verse number 46. Don't worry about it. I'm almost done. Pain's almost over. Ain't too much more medicine left. Here come the orange juice. Verse number 46. And day after day, they regularly assembled in the temple. Do you remember that? Day after day, we'd just be riding by the church, and somebody would see a car at the church. And you'd be riding, Shantana, you remember that? On the way home and you'd see a car in the parking lot. You see three cars in the parking lot and you'd be like, I bet nobody did have a prayer service. Shamika, you remember that? I bet nobody did have a prayer service and ain't told me about it. Do you understand that? I remember a time when the saints gathered together, you know, because this is a church right here. It's just too much church. He preaches too long. How many songs are they going to sing? Let's hurry up and get out of here. But I remember the church when church was over, everybody wanted to go hang with the pastor and the first lady. You understand? Said what I'm saying to you. People would be bringing over dishes of food so that we could all just eat together, and people wouldn't leave the house till 9 and 10 o'clock at night on a Sunday night when they had to be at work early on Monday morning. You understand what I'm saying to you? It's because the people had nothing to hide. There wasn't two lives that they was living. They was all having things in common. Even the men hung out. The men hung out. Why do I say that? Because men can be some of the most problematic people in the church.
Why do they always want to hang around the pastor?
The question you ought to ask is why they don't always want to hang around you. Keep on blaming me. She fine. I don't want nothing you got. Listen to this. And day after day, they regularly assembled in the temple with united purpose. They had a See, this is a church without a purpose. You know what the purpose for Growth Temple Ministries this season is? Survival. Do you know that the purpose was never supposed to be survival? The purpose and the agenda was to be the saving the people of God. We was always supposed to be in Windburn, knocking on every door, talking about, now I brought you a flyer last week. Why didn't I see you? I told you we had a van service. I gave you my personal number. Why ain't I heard from you? We rode by here on the way. Your car wasn't nowhere else. You wasn't in nobody else's church. Why? When we going to get your, if you ain't going to show up, when your baby's going to show up? It was never supposed to be. The kingdom agenda was never save the church. The kingdom agenda was and will always be save the people. So we're getting ready to go back to some things. Whether we stay here or whether we out of here, we're getting ready to go back to some things. We're getting ready to go back to, if you ain't holy, you can't operate. And you still better show up. How many of you Growth Temple people remember those back in the day, Growth Temple people? You would be sat down and then show up at your house if you didn't show up the next Sunday. Don't nobody care about you being mad. Get yourself together and you'll be back in position. But until then, you're going to set your butt down and you're going to show up every Sunday and get this word because it will help your soul. Folk over talking about it. Ain't nobody going to tell me I'm coming to church. I'm grown. No, you're not, because if you was grown, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Verse number 46, and day after day they regularly assembled in the temple with a united purpose, and in their homes they broke bread. We did that. We know that it's true. We know that powerful things can happen when you do things like this, because we was in the storefront. We had 101 adults. We had 31 children, and we had 16 teenagers in a storefront. People was at 25 years old was asking, can we have Bible study twice a week instead of once a week? Don't you tell me what we shouldn't be like. What we shouldn't be doing. Verse number 47, and they were constantly praising God and being in favor. You know why you don't constantly praise God? Because you don't feel like you have a reason to. Do you know why you feel like you don't have a reason to? Because you don't serve him. And because you don't serve him, he doesn't see you. You understand what I'm saying to you? He sees you, but he sees your rebellion. He sees your discontent. He sees your determination to reject him. He sees your disobedience. He sees you. He just doesn't like what he sees when he sees you. He loves you, but he don't like you. Oh, no, God loves everybody. He did. I said he loves you, but he don't mean he like you. I love each and every one of you, but there's a whole bunch about your ways that I can't stand. Listen, constantly praising God and being in favor and goodwill with all people. We don't even speak to each other. Well, let me tell you something. Y'all will trample out of here after this thing is over with and won't make sure you done spoke to everybody in the building, but you swear up and down that you are a saint of God, but you don't even know the saints you sit next to or sit across from. If they ain't in your family, if they didn't come with you, you don't take the time to get to know them, and you're trying to figure out why we ain't got all things in common because you're too busy trying to get back to your jacked up, rejected, neglectful lives when it comes to God. But guess what happened? When they kept praising God and being in favor and goodwill with all people, and the Lord kept adding to their number daily. Daily, those were being saved from spiritual death. From spiritual death. He keeps talking about the old church because the new church ain't working. I'm trying to tell you, the reason I keep talking about the old church is because I'm telling you something that worked. We seen it. And if I didn't have it to go back on and remember and fall back on, I would probably lose my mind, lose my spirit, be on the brink of giving up. You understand what I'm saying to you? You probably have me somewhere cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, crazy in my head, sitting back watching this church just fall and fall and fall. You can't tell me that it doesn't work, because we saw it work and we had much less than we were working with. So you don't show up for Sunday service. You show up when you want to. You are a part of the problem. You don't show up for Bible study and you ain't got to be at work, you are part of the problem. You don't tithe, but your hair stay done. You understand what I'm saying to you? You do everything else that you want to do. You are a part of the problem. Don't sit around and say some stuff like, this don't make sense. No, you don't make sense. And I want this to hit every soul that is foul in everything that I'm talking about. I want this to smack you in the mouth so hard that you go home and have a real talk with yourself and a real talk with your spouse and a real talk with Jesus and a real talk with your children. Me and my family sat down a couple of days ago and had a real talk about getting back to the true things of God. I want this thing to smack you like it smacked me and get yourself together. Shame on the way it's been around here. Shame on the way it's been around here. God bless you.